Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's nice to see so many people here with us this morning. It's wonderful to have everyone back. I think after being away for a couple of weeks, it's always refreshing to see us. There's a television series that I think there's 8 or 9 episodes of it. It's called The Series of the Lost Ark. And it's really supposedly about the Ark of the Covenant. And the show does, to a certain extent, focus on what happened to the Ark of the Covenant. But the more interesting part is the fact that it focuses on the power of the Ark. That this box had this magical power. It did all these wonderful things. It was the one that won the battles for Israel. It was the one that blessed Israel. It was the Ark that did all this fabulous work. In fact, they go on about, they keep going on about, all this wonderful things it did. But of course, there's a controversy about one thing, because it was the Ark that knocked down the walls of Jericho. And now there's some archaeological evidence that there might have been an earthquake. So if there was an earthquake, then the Ark didn't knock down walls. Wow. It's always fascinating because they're talking about the power of the Ark. It had nothing to do with God. It was the box that did it all. It had nothing to do with God in this entire series. None of the things had anything to do with God. It was the Ark itself that was the source of power. And when talking about the whereabouts of the Ark, there's some interesting theories. My personal favorite is the one where Jeremiah smuggled the Ark out of Jerusalem when the Babylonians were attacking and took it to Ireland. There's a mound in Ireland that is the supposed resting place of the Ark, but it is too dangerous to enter into. But this is where the Ark was, and they go on about how this one person that was talked about must have been Jeremiah, and he must have taken the Ark there, and it must be buried here. But of course, the big problem with that comes when you begin to, that couldn't have been the case, because there are many people who believe, having in Ireland would be a problem for those who believe that Jesus spent his teenage years in England. And in fact, it is a widely held belief. If you see royal occasions, and it's suitable for singing in churches, it's an unofficial hymn. There's an unofficial hymn based on the poem by William Blake. That poem, the hymn is typically referred to as Jerusalem, the poem, and did those feet in ancient times. And what the supposition is that Jesus, during these so-called lost years, was in the company of Joseph of Arimathea, traveled to England and spent his teenage years there. This is something that could cause a problem for where the Ark is. Because then again, why would he go to England when the Ark was in Ireland? Wouldn't he go to the same place? But then again, what do I know? After all, this world has changed. And it wasn't until late last year that I realized, when filling out a form, that I realized there was 10 choices for gender, not the 2 that I'm used to. I actually had to look it up and figure out what I was to put down, because there are 10 gender choices, not 2. And this is the world that we live in. This is the world that is changing before our eyes. The world where traditional values, morality, are not just wrong, but should be fought against. If you speak anything outside of what is being taught by the world, you are condemned, and there will be a storm of hate messages directed at you. And a lot of these things, now when you think of these theories that they were showing on that show, there's no wisdom behind them. There's no love behind them. They have some so-called knowledge, but it really isn't knowledge. And unfortunately, the world that we are living in has trapped us all. There are traps everywhere. At some point, we have all stepped in them. At some point, and to right now, we are caught in them and we are dealing with them. Sometimes they'll catch us more than other times. But at some point, we are all dealing with the troubles of the world. The world has ensnared us in some way, shape, or form. And instead of turning to these other sources, instead of turning to these so-called experts, we need to turn to God. We need to turn to God and seek wisdom. Incline thy ear to wisdom. From our reading this morning, from Proverbs 2, verses 6 through 8, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler of them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. He keeps the path of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Everywhere you look in the Bible, everywhere, you'll find reassurances like we see in Proverbs 2, verse 8. Throughout the Bible, there is something there. A great example is Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah 12, 1 and 2. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Those verses capture two thoughts, capture two concepts that are usually found alongside of any verses of comfort, alongside either with or near those words, the words, that express God's love for us. The first is to not be afraid. Isaiah 12, in Isaiah 12, I will trust and not be afraid. The expression not be afraid occurs a dozen times or so. But the simpler statement, fear not. There's 62 references throughout the Bible. This is a concept that we never have to worry about. This is something that when we see the wisdom of God, when we see that the love of God says to us to fear not. And that expression is usually paired with forgiveness. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. It's reassuring because we fail regularly. As I mentioned, we're all here at some point dealing with something that has caught us in the world. The biggest thing that we have to do is seek God. Seek forgiveness. Have a repentant heart. And if we do, God will forgive us. God is willing to forgive us. But there are things there, but it's not as simple as flipping a switch. There's a little bit of work. Not hard work. There's a little bit of work involved in it. Going back to Proverbs 2. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. And apply thy heart to understanding. Incline thy ear to wisdom. My personal experience is that God answers prayers in a fairly bold way. It's often hard to miss. It's not something usually subtle. When you pray to God, there is something there that God will show you that He is answering your prayer. But sometimes we are too distracted to notice. Sometimes we are caught up in the noise around us. Now, our house is fairly close to the airport. We have planes flying very close to our house. In fact, I can remember doing a lot of traveling, and on the smaller airplanes, you came in a bit lower, and I can remember looking out the window, and it's like, oh, yeah, there's Jackie with the kids out playing on the street. Well, these planes, you know, they come fairly close to our house, and airplanes are loud. And when people who first move into the neighborhood or people who come visit the neighborhood, they are struck by the noise of the airplanes. We don't even notice them. You know, they're there. They just eventually blend into the background. Eventually you come used to them and you tune them out. We want to make sure that we do not tune out God. We want to make sure that we are actively listening for God in our lives. As I mentioned, the prayer, you know, my experience is that when God answers my prayers, it's pretty bold and it's hard to miss them. But it is possible to miss them because the answer might not be what we were hoping for or what we were expecting or how, and the way it was delivered to us is not how we were expecting. So this is where we need to incline our heart unto wisdom. To seek that, no, to seek, apply thy heart to understanding. Incline thy ear unto wisdom. We need to make sure that we're actively listening, that we're not tuning out God because we're not getting the answer we want or expected. That leads back to another point in Proverbs 2. Verses 3-5. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then shall the understanding of the fear of the Lord, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Seek her as silver and hidden treasures. Knowledge, understanding. Lift up your voice. Don't just sit back and think, oh, I wish I knew better. Lift up your voice and ask God. Make some effort into it. Put some effort into it. I always love thinking back to the story of Jesus' birth, in particular when Simeon came to see that when they took the baby to the temple and Simeon came in. So here we have Mary and Joseph carrying their baby, this 8-day-old child, very small, very frail. And what happens? Simeon is led by the Spirit to come to the temple. And then in Luke 2, a very important point in verse 28. Then he took him up in his arms. Simeon took hold of the baby. Here you got these parents, protect, bring this baby in, do what the law required of them. This tiny child. And this old man comes in and grabs this child, snatches the baby out of their hands. I don't think it was a simple walk up and say, oh, hi, look at, no, can I hold him? No. I think Simeon was led by the Spirit, saw them, saw the baby, and went over and took it. He reached out and grabbed his salvation. He didn't simply observe. He did not just look at the baby and say, oh, wow, what a wonderful child. Oh, yes, look, this is the child. No, he took hold of the baby, blessed God, spoke to the parents, and departed joyfully. I want to take a look back at the beginning. Sorry, just after our Sunday school class, couldn't resist using the words at the beginning again. But I want to look at Genesis chapter 3, right near the end. Genesis chapter 3 is the fall of man. Genesis chapter 3. Is where we see the sin. We see the fall of man. God announced their punishment in verse 21, leading out in the earlier chapters. But right after he announced their punishment, what does God do? In verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife, the Lord made coats of skins and clothed them. They had one rule. There was one rule. That's all there was. And they broke it. God could have destroyed everything. But what does God do? He makes them clothing. And an interesting thought about this as well, I was reading something where it says, not only did he give them clothing to protect them, but this taught Adam and Eve what death meant. Because the animals, the skins, would have come from an animal, now those animals would have died. So Adam and Eve would have realized what death meant, despite everything the serpent had said. So despite all of this, God made them clothing. But there's something else that happened. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 24, after God has proclaimed the punishment, after he has clothed them, he drives them out. Verse 24, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, a flaming sword every way, keep the word to way of the tree of life. God did not destroy the tree of life. Adam and Eve were prevented from eating of it, but the tree remained. The way to the tree is blocked, was blocked. The way was blocked. But now, God could have destroyed this tree of life, instead he protected, waiting for his plan to be complete. And we are here to remember the first step of that plan of the cherubims being removed because of Jesus' sacrifice. And it is fascinating when you begin to think about it. Right from the very beginning, there was a plan. That plan was to bring salvation to everyone. That plan is not simply, let's destroy everyone. It is to save everyone. And when we think of turning to knowledge, I want to look at Mark chapter 12. This is an interesting chapter. It's one it's one that we're familiar with the stories of, but it's one at a difficult time for Jesus. At a difficult time, they just tried to stone him, but they were afraid of the crowd. Mark 12, beginning of verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reason together and perceived that he had answered them well. So one of the scribes had been hearing Jesus, didn't just nod his head and accept it, didn't just walk along, blindly. He thought about what Jesus was saying. And then he asked him, what the great command, which is the first commandment. Jumping down to verse 33. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Now the word discreetly says when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, doesn't mean quiet. It means that the man thought about his answer. It was an answer with knowledge and with understanding. It was one that Jesus had said the words, but this man in his heart believed them. And that really is where the beginning of the search for God, where we begin. When we incline our ear to wisdom, we incline our ear and remember those cherubims are there, but Jesus is stepping to remove them. The people earlier that we talked about with their different viewpoints, it's knowledge without understanding. There's so much, so little that they know. Because all understandings, all wisdom comes from God. So we need to incline our ear unto wisdom and search for that knowledge. I'm going to wrap up with a couple of passages for us. Proverbs 3, beginning at verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tablet of thy heart. So thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Thank you.